and forgiving and continue on going and working together, then we defeat the enemy that way. And so if we haven't found ourselves in that area of helping the Lord in love and to love one another, we need to come back to that place where we're really truly loving one another in the heart of Jesus, the way he did us. Because he first loved us, the Bible says. We're going to go over some of that today. But today we're going to talk about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How can we know? How can we know the difference between truth and error? Or what is a false witness? What is a falsehood? What is from a false prophet? Or what is truth? And so John kind of lays it out for us. He gives us good understanding. And it comes back to that love element of loving. And then we're going to talk about listening. How many of you guys are good listeners? Nobody's a good listener? Huh? Today's your test. If you can listen to me today, you're doing great. I'm not sure I'm going to make a lot of sense. No, I will. But to be a good listener isn't just hearing, right? It's not just hearing what someone else is saying. It's actually listening to what they're saying. And there's a difference. Because we can hear people. We can hear somebody talking to us, but we're not listening to them. We're not listening to the matter that's going on inside. And so we need to listen carefully. Maybe not, it's not even what they're saying. Maybe there's something else going on. And so we need to be listeners, to listen carefully. And then the response shouldn't be a response of our flesh, but a response of the Holy Spirit. Because we can respond in many ways. But if we're responding out of ourself and out of what we think it should be, then we need to reevaluate and look back at what the response that Jesus would give. And Jesus' response was always out of love and respect for not only his Father, but for mankind itself. He came to die for us on the cross. And so he did that out of love. And so for us to die to ourselves and do that out of a love character of Christ in us, we're going to love one another through dying to ourselves and putting someone else first. And so sometimes that's difficult, but that's what God's asking us to do. And we're going to look at the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How can we know? Father, we ask God that our thinking caps would be on, but most of all, Lord, we would be listening to you, or the word that comes forth today through your scriptures, through your holy scriptures, God, that we would have an attentive ear to listen and hear what you're saying here. And God, that we would be attentive to be obedient to the call of what you're speaking to us individually. Lord, that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow after you, Lord. That we would be hearers of the word and also very in-depth doers of the word. That we wouldn't just be doing this thing, not wholeheartedly, but wholeheartedly, God, we pray. That we'd be coming before you with a whole heart. So I ask, God, that our minds would be open, and God, that our listening ears would be open, and God, we would hear what you're saying. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So when God is asking us to test the spirits, he's asking us to be go to the scriptures and make sure that these things line up. So for an example, when we heard from that one guy, I can't even remember his name now, but he came forth and he said Jesus' return, he's going to come back in this date, on this date. Right? What do we do when we hear that? Some people kind of get excited about that and go, oh man, Jesus is coming back. I'm all in. I'm going to sell all my property, you know, and gather up my stuff and get ready to go because Jesus is coming back on, you know, October 10th or whatever the date was. And how do we know that that's error? Huh? There's all kinds of biblical reasons why that just wouldn't happen, right? No man knows the day or the hour. Only God does. So what that means to us is that when somebody comes out and gives a date, The Bible says very clearly, no man knows the day or the hour. We can know the season, right? We can see seasons happening, and we can see what the Bible gives us good understanding of what's taking place in our world, so we can watch that unfold. But we don't know the day or the hour. And anybody who says they do, better go back and read Scripture, because the Bible says very clearly, no man knows that. And if that's true, what's that? They don't even know, right? So we have to understand that the Bible gives us great understanding of what is true and what is false. But listen, many false prophets are out there trying to lead even the most elect astray and deceive them. If it were possible, that's exactly what he would do. That's what the Bible says. And so we need to know very clearly what the Bible shares. And how do we know that? How are we going to know the truth? And that is, listen, if you're not studying this Bible for yourself, you need to be. If you're just coming on a Sunday and listening to a message, it is not enough. Your relationship with Christ, with God, has to go deeper than that. So you have to dig in. And then we have to evaluate. In fact, what we did up at camp this last week was we sat down and we had an evaluation time for the leaders. We sat down and made and had conversation. How are we doing with the one anotherings, with the scriptural aspect of what a body of believers should look like? And so we brought up a lot of questions, and we had a lot of answers about how we were doing. And I kind of gave it a scale between 1 to 10. You know, and we kind of evaluated our church in that element of scripture evaluation of how we're doing and what we can do to make things better. Now, that was an awesome thing to do. In fact, we should do that quite often. As believers, we need to evaluate the road we're on, make sure we're on the correct path, go back and keep asking the Lord for direction, and then as he changes that direction, we're going to change with him. Right? We're not so stuck in the religious aspect of what church looks like that we're going to do things just because it is the way we've always done it, or the way it's been done for 500 years. Now, all I know is anytime I read Scripture is God's he's not predictable. You know, he isn't. He changes and he makes changes as we go along. And if he's there's some things that are predictable that will never change, right? But there are things that do change. And the only way we're going to know that is that we read the Scriptures for ourselves and we follow and believe in what's written. And in fact, the apostles said before us, and Paul said very clearly, don't deviate from what we've said, right? Because you're walking on a fine line if you're doing that. You need to come back and read for what we've said, because we have told you truth. And it was backed up by all kinds of different things that God showed that was truth. So we need to be very careful how we're walking and making sure we're walking in truth. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. Is the Antichrist in the world today? Yes. Absolutely. So how do you know it's Antichrist? It's against Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. So when you're speaking with anybody and they're saying, well, there's many ways to heaven, and what about Buddha, what about Allah, what about all of these other guys, you know, that I can tell you their bones are still in the grave, but what about that? Is there many ways to heaven? No. And the Bible is very clear to us that we need to, are we okay? Or would you rather that God gave you different ways to heaven? Then you're creating God in your own image. You want to have it your way, so you do it that way. But God said, hey, that's one of the commandments I've given you, is do not create God in your own image. Right? Don't do that. That's a thou shalt not. So those are the things that aren't going to change. That is never going to change. Right? And so when you evaluate Scripture, you know truth by what it's spoken, and then truth backs itself up. The Bible will always back itself up. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How can we know? Well, we're looking at how we know, because the Bible is very clear about certain things. And the things that it's not clear about Should we get into arguments and discussions about what the Bible is not clear about? The Bible says don't do that. Don't major on minors. Right? If it isn't dealing with salvation and our relationship with God and, you know, what is meant, what we're supposed to know and how we get there, if we get off on a bunch of arguments about religion and religious practices, the Bible talks very clearly. In fact, why did Jesus come? And when he came into the synagogues, what was he telling those folks? He says, you guys have missed it. Right? You have missed it here. You're all about religion, and you're not about truth and what relationship with God is all about. And so we have a group of different religious sects and different religious groups that all about this. And if you're not following this, and they're majoring on minors, and they miss the truth of Jesus, because what did it say right here? Anybody who doesn't say that Jesus came and did what he did and confess that with your mouth, believe it in your heart, then you missed it. Right? So that's Antichrist. Anybody who is against Christ or don't believe that Jesus has come yet or don't believe that he did what he did or he is not the Son of God, then you're not in. You don't get it. You haven't seen it. So the Bible says to test these things. So verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. And I know that anybody who has been a witness for Christ and gone out into the streets or anywhere and shared Christ with people, you'll see that there's a lot of people that are deceived in this area of Jesus and who he is. And they don't care. Absolutely don't care. And so we need to pray for them, that they do care, that they do see the truth, so they're not Antichrist. And so you are from God, little children. How do you know you're from God? When John's talking, who's he talking to when he wrote this? Huh? He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who have accepted Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and he's saying to them, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. How do you know Jesus is in you? How do you know that? The Holy Spirit bears witness, and the Bible tells us. Right? He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what's the next part of that? You're saved. So as you understand Scripture, you can say that I am a child of God. That's cool that John calls us children of God, because that's just what we are. We're children of God. Now we need to behave like children of God. We are no longer of this world. And we're in it, but we're not supposed to be of it. But I can tell you what, the world tries to rub itself off on us, doesn't it? I mean, it does. And attitudes, behaviors, and things we get caught up into, government stuff, and what we see on the news, and all of those things are out there, and we can get caught up in them. But the Bible tells us we're his children. And so we live under a different government, don't we? If we live under government that God set before us, that he's our king, why do we want to get so caught up in the area of government and the way it's running? Because the Bible says this world will pass away, and all of its leadership and all of its headship will pass away, although God gives us leadership. So there's a catch-22 in that. How much of this do we obey, and how much is it that we come against? Well, the Bible is clear about that as well. All we have to do is read Scriptures. He says anything that is not of God and not mandated by God, you don't want to follow that. So if a government's mandating something that's not of the Lord or it's not scriptural, then you don't want to do that. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that. But if it's not, if it's a governmental law that doesn't affect anything that God's put before us, then we need to obey it, right? Like wearing your seatbelt. I mean, I hate it. I don't like wearing seatbelts. But the law says I need to wear my seatbelt. Now, what do I want to spend my time rebelling against that for? It's real easy to put it on, right? And if it's not a law that's just bothering God's law, then I just need to put it on, don't I? And I had to cross that bridge because I wasn't happy with it. I wasn't happy with that law. And I was mad because who are they to tell me what to do? Right? This is a free country, isn't it? Well, there's a whole bunch of laws now that's taken away freedom from us. And we know that that's going to happen more and more and more because Scripture said so. Right? They're going to take away our freedoms. And especially as believers, because they want to be in control and not allow God to be in control. We want God to be in control. Right? So we need to be very careful, you know, what kind of thing we're getting into and how much time we're spending on these things, because God said all that stuff is going to pass away. We need to make sure that people have the freedoms to follow God the way that God has given us freedom to do so, and those things we're going to stand up for. And we will battle the things of truth. So and we bring it down to same-sex marriage, right? Or abortion. Is that godly? Does the Bible say that's okay? No. So, you know, there's standards that God has, right? And as believers, we have to see that. Now, how we deal with that is a whole other thing, because being right, there's a big responsibility in knowing truth and being right about it, right? So you can't just go out and kill abortionists, because then you're breaking the law for a law, right? So you come to these things and deal with them in love and speak truth and work with it the best you can. And you can't get all wound up and go into these big debates about it, but you can just share with biblical truth and ask God to speak to their hearts, because you're not going to change what the world's going to do. Only God can do that. We can do what God's called us to do. And so it's how we do it. And how did he say to do it? In love. If we aren't chasing these things in love, then we're coming at it with a wrong attitude. And so he calls us little children. And he says this, he says, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. So who is he talking about, the he that's in the world? See, there's spiritual darkness and there's spiritual activity going on, and we have to know the difference. Because there's lots of voices talking, all kinds of activity going on in the spiritual realm. In fact, Daniel made it clear when he prayed for help. Remember, it took like 21 days for the angels to break through to give him spiritual help. Right? You think it's any different today? No, there's a battle going on in the spiritual realm, and they're in warfare. And we need to be prayerfully praying as we go through our daily lives as well. It says, they are the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to who? No? Read it. Listens to us. Who wrote this? Right? Now we can hear God, but he gave us scripture for a mandate to follow. And so John is speaking, and he wrote this for us to listen to and to hear. So we know that when we read these scriptures, and some people say the New Testament is important. I say that if without the New Testament, we don't have all the answers we need. And so we get into the New Testament, and we says, so we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen, when you're in conversation with people about God, you know very clearly whether they're listening to you or not. If they want to debate you, they're not listening to you. Right? If they want to hear you, their heart will be open to receive what you're saying to them, and they will clearly grab a hold of it, and they'll evaluate it by not just what you say, they'll evaluate it by the direction that you're asking them to look into the scriptures. Listen, don't take my word for it. Go to the Bible and read it for yourself. And here's a passage you can take home and read. Right? If a homosexual comes to you and he says, look, God is love. He's given us everything. We should just love one another. It's all about love. Right? I can love my male partner and do sexual acts with him, And you can say, well, no, that's really not correct. And the Bible says so here. And you take them to the scripture in Romans that says, look, this isn't the way God created mankind to be. Now, you can either receive that truth or not. But we don't beat them up for it. No, we just show them truth and they evaluate it for themselves. Because guess when they stand before God on judgment day, are they going to stand before you or the Creator? Yeah, you're just going to do your part. And how they receive that and do it with it is up to them. Because they got choices just like all of us. And they'd be willing to hear it if we gave it in a right heart. Right? And gave truth in a right heart, Mabel. It's by grace we're saved. Right? So that none of us can boast about it. Right? Because we didn't get saved by our works either. We got saved by the grace and the mercies of God. And so, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Right? And so when you're looking at the understanding of who Jesus is, what he did, why God sent him, and what the whole plan of redemption is, we can find truth in the middle of all of that. But listen, there's a lot of falsehood going on, and there's a lot of errors in spirituality, New Age, all kinds of different things that we can look at. And here's how you know the difference between truth and error. Is that if it's not received by the good news of Jesus Christ, if it's not received by the truth of God's word, right, then it is in error. And so we have to back up God's truth by what he's written and what he's shown us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. How's the love manifested to the world? How's that happening? It's coming through us, right? And when we're born again, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the love of God comes out to the world through his children. Right? That's how it happens. If you think he's just going to do it to everybody, that's not how it works. It works through the love of his children. And so by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we, you should circle this word, might live through him. Because he didn't say you would, or absolutely, he said you might. And there's a lot of people that accept the fact that God is who he is, and they even receive Christ as their Savior. But there's some stuff going on in there that's keeping them from being all that they can be. And so that's why John carefully used this word. And I use the Bible, this New American Standard. And the reason why I do is because there's lots of different versions. But if you do your study, go do your homework on the New American Standard version, is that it is the closest Bible word for word. Some are thought for thought, meaning, and illustrations. But this Bible that I'm reading to you, it is the closest word-for-word Bible you can get. And so when you look at that word might, you can go back and look at that from the original text, and you're going to find out that might is there, maybe. Right? You could. It's not a definite. And so his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Maybe we will. And we all have that ability to do it. So what does some of your versions say there for that word? Huh? Other than might. Any other word other than might? That's all, everybody's version says the same? That's an important word to understand. So it's because we have a choice, don't we? We all have a will. We have a choice to do this or not to do it. And it's up to you. And sometimes we're blinded to it. We can't see the picture, so we don't understand the whole picture, and so we might live through him. Let me ask you, do you know that you're living through Jesus? You got to know that stuff. And your behavior will make it clear, right? And how you respond to God's pull and tug on your heart and what he's asking you to do, and you're going to do the best you can to do all that he's asked you to do, then you're going to be living through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now remember what we talked about that word last week, if you were here. What does that mean? Basically, he did everything he's going to do for you. He did it for you. All you have to do is receive it. He was the blood sacrifice for you. So he's done it for you already. You just need to receive that and start walking that out. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You know, that would be a verse to circle. You know, and the other thing is that you can go back and do a study on love. What is love? What does love mean? Because we use the word love in some strange ways. You know, well, I love food. Do you guys love food as much as I love food? Is that the kind of love he's talking about? No. I love donuts. In fact, I had a couple of them this morning. No, he's talking about a sacrifice of our lives for others, because of what Jesus, how Jesus loved us, he's asking us to love in the way that he loved us. And so, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So it's not about what you can do for me. It's about what can I do for you. Now, one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. So there's something we can look and test the spirits to see if what's going on is true. And if we're doing what God has called us to do, then we can test the spirits by saying, okay, how is my love for one another? How is my response and my reaction to people around me, my fellowship as believers? Do I love them? Do I sacrifice for them? We talked a little bit about that up at camp, about what we can do to sacrifice some things from in our lives to make the whole better, and individually. If all of us are putting a sacrificial push into the body of believers in our community, guess what? We're going to make a huge difference. If two or three are doing it, probably not going to see a lot. But if you see a whole congregation doing it, you're going to see the love of Christ push out into this world that we live in. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Remember when he left, what did he say? He said, Lowell, I'll be with you always. No. When he left us with the Holy Spirit, our comfort, our director, our path giver, our the one that fills us. Remember in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witness. Right? How else are you going to do this love thing? Right? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're probably not going to get that job done. You're going to get crushed by the attitudes and behaviors of the world. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. You know how many times is the abide word is here? Remember we talked about abide. What does abide mean? Huh? to remain in, to continue, to never give up, to abide, to be with, to be guided by. By this love is perfect with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. You know, that's a great understanding. You need to have confidence in the day of judgment when you stand before the Lord. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Because you may not have tomorrow. You might not have the rest of today. So when the Bible talks about salvation, and today is the day of salvation for us, if we haven't crossed that bridge, we need to get on the other side of it. And we need to have confidence in knowing when we stand before the Lord on judgment day that we can say, yes, Lord, you know, I'm saved. I know you're here. I know you're in me. I know, God, I'm good. I know that. And if you don't know that, you can know that today. You can very easily know it today. And you never have to go cross that bridge again. Because Jesus, when he does that work and he asks us to come and repent before him and ask him into our lives, it's a done deal. Right? And guess what? You can walk out from underneath that. And there's a lot of people who don't believe that. But the Bible's pretty clear that you can know the truth and keep on sinning. Right? And there are people that do that. They know Jesus, they've accepted Christ as their Savior, but they just keep right on intentionally sinning. They keep right on doing it. I'm good, I'm okay because I'm saved. But the Bible says if you keep doing it now, there's no more sacrifice for you. So you, if you that know the truth, know it, and don't do it, you know, that's a dangerous place to be walking. So by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. As he is, so also are we in this world. What's that mean? As he is and was, as he walked on earth and he went what he went through, so are we. We're his children. We are going to have these principalities and powers that we battle. The Bible says that we do not fight against flesh and blood. Now, most every single one of us can quote that scripture, can't we? We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers in high places. Really? Do you believe that? You can quote it. Do you absolutely believe it? Where is your fight? Who are you fighting? Who are you mad at? Who's bothering you? Whose fault is it that you're doing what you're doing or whatever? Right? You can't read Scripture and make it in your own image. You can't make it do what you want it to do. Either you're going to believe it for what it says or not. And so the deception of the world or the deceiver can come in and get you so duped and believing you're good, you're okay, and it's all about them, but me and God, we're good. You need to regroup and look at that. Because what did God mandate for us? He said, I gave my life for you. Right? Are you giving your life for others? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your closest friend. And maybe they're not so fun to be around. But do you think the people that Jesus died for, you think they were fun to be around? In fact, he died for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. He died for every soul on earth that was and is to come. He did it for each one. And it's up to us to accept that. So we can't point at somebody else and say, well, Jesus didn't die for you, but he died for me. Right? Because it's just not true. He died for them too. Just like I was talking to a group of people at the fair, and I asked them the question. Because this dude was walking by singing Highway to Hell across the booth, right? Highway to Hell, and smirking while he was walking. And I was talking to a couple in front of me, and I asked them, I said, do you think Jesus loves them less than he loves you? Yeah, because I'm not like that. That's not true. He loves them just as much. They're the ones that's missing out. Right? And so he took their sin on his shoulders just like he took yours and mine. Is their sin any worse than yours? No. He died for every one of us. How we appropriate that, though, is a big deal. What we do with that matters. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Are you guys afraid to love? Even, have you been hurt by love? Some of us have, right? Somebody has hurt you deeply, right? And so there's a fear of loving again, because, you know, love is painful. It just is, isn't it? Am I telling you the truth? If you've loved and lost, or if you've loved at all, love is painful. Why? Because it requires effort on our parts to let go and forgive and to love anyway. So love is painful. It hurts. So if this scripture is true, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfect in love. I know it's hard to get your mind wrapped around that this morning. There's a lot there. But you need to go and analyze that a little bit in the context of yourself. And how are you evaluating yourself in love? Because usually we don't want to love because we're afraid of what that's going to do to us. In fact, I know a lot of people, not just a few, but a lot, that pull away from people because of love. They're afraid to love because they're going to get hurt. Love is painful. I don't care how you cut it. You're going to get hurt in love. Just going to happen. But if you love with the love of the Father, not just your fleshly love, but God's love, there's no fear in love, but perfect love, who has the most perfect love? Christ. And so if he is in you, the Bible says if you've accepted him, he is. Now you have to allow him to work through you. Because it's not you that's going to get this job done. It's his love that casts that fear out. So we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he doesn't see. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So what did Jesus say? When he left this planet, he left us, he didn't say it was a new commandment. Well, he did say it was a new commandment. But it's not an addition to. It's part of the old commandment. But he's given us an understanding of what the commandment was. It's to love one another. Love your brother. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that mean? Most of us don't even know our neighbors. Right? Really? Come on. You go into a city and I'll guarantee you the people that live in a city apartment don't want to know the people that live across them. I hear them yelling over there once in a while. I don't know who they are, but they're sure a pain in the rear end. Wish they could be quiet. Well, listen, koinonia. Do you guys know what that word means? What is koinonia? In the pictures, it's this. It's giving and receiving and living like this. If we really are who we say we are, if we really call ourselves Christians, and we don't behave like Christians, right? How are we going to walk out truth. The Bible says that, hey, if there's evidence in the believer. There's definite evidence in people who say they're Christians, what they do, how they act and respond to others. There's evidence. And the evidence is love. You sacrificially give of yourself to others and for others. And do you do that only if you like them? Huh? And the Bible says, hey, it's easy to do that. The world does that. But he's saying, do it because I've commanded it. I said, look, love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Love one another. And it's not just in the body of Christ to love one another. Listen, and we like to put that word love in a box. You know, about, well, what does love mean to me? The only way we're going to know what love really is to look to the Word to see what love really is. Is it conditional? Is love conditional?
No.
If you do this, I'll love you.
No.
If you do this, if you do the right thing, then I'll love you and I'll show you some respect. But if not, you're not in. You're not part of our group. And I know believers who walk like that. If you aren't going to please us and not do what I've told you to do, then I don't love you. That's not evidence of a good believer. That's not one who's doing what Christ did. If you're not in, you're out. Okay? That's not what Christ did. In fact, he went and ate with the tax collectors, and they were like the scum of the earth. Everybody hated the tax collectors. You know why? Because they took our money. We worked hard for it, and they come and took a percentage of it. I'm not gonna love them. Those guys are dogs. No, Jesus went. You know Matthew. You guys know one of the guys that wrote one of these books. You know what he was? Yeah, and he became who he was through Jesus' love for him. Because everybody else hated his guts. Yeah, nobody loved him. Not even his friends, because he probably took everything from them. He didn't have any friends. But Jesus loved him anyway. And it changed his whole world. Changed his whole life. And there's story after story after story in the Bible of all these people. How about the woman at the well? How about the lady that got caught in adultery? I mean, you could go on and on and on and on and on. So who did Jesus love? He loved the worst of the worst, and he turned them in to the best of the best. You know, God turns your zero into a hero. He can take your nothing and turn it into great. Why? Because it's Him through you. You're loving through His love, not yours. Because your love's conditional. His love is unconditional. And so how do we do that? We do that with relationship, understanding who He is, and dying to ourselves and our conditions of what love looks like. And we love anyway. So the spirit of truth is what? We just talked about it. It's love. God left us with the truth that sets every man free. And it is love. And then the spirit of error is not loving. Anti-Christ, not receiving that love and not giving it. So you got the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is evident. How do you love one another? How do you walk as believers on this earth? What have you done for your neighbor lately just because you want to love them and do something for them? Listen, we do a lot of stuff around here for others. We sacrifice our are days to do things for others. And it is a blessing, isn't it, guys? The things that we do is a major blessing. Yeah, it's a lot of work, and yeah, we worked all week hard, and on Tuesdays we come down after work and go help somebody because we choose to help them. That's sacrificial love, because you don't have to do it. You could just stay home and watch TV and relax and have bonbons or something. Or eat donuts. I like donuts. But no, you come down and you go, okay, look, we're going to go do this for somebody. And we enjoy that. I mean, there's something to that that makes it worth it all. Just to help somebody. And we don't really need anything in return. We don't ask for nothing in return. Although Sia's not here today and we miss her cookies. But she's flying to Alaska. But those kind of things really will happen. It comes and returns. If you give out love, it's going to come back. It will. If you give it, it'll come back. And ways you may never understand, or ways you may never know. But the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, how can we know? And we can look inside ourselves and know. Right? Is this passage of Scripture speaking to you? Right? How is your love for one another? Is it speaking to you? You're either going to hear it or you're going to reject it. But the truth is, we all need to be listening to what's being spoken today. And remember, listening isn't just hearing. It's not hearing. Listening is being part of the conversation, receiving it, and then doing something with it. Right? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And listen, people can point fingers all day long. But remember what the old saying is? There's three pointing back right at you. And an evaluation of self kind of stinks. You know what I mean? Evaluation of self is tough because we're... Remember I told you we all write our own script? We're the movie... We're in the movie, and of course, we're the hero of our own movie. And we write the script, and in our script, we come out good every time. But Jesus is really writing the script. Right? In reality, Jesus is writing the script, and one day we get to go and read it. Right? Because remember, the Bible says your things are written. Hopefully my things are covered by the blood because I don't want them shouted from the rooftops. But he says if you keep on doing that, he loves us enough to do that, right?
Yes.
He loves us enough to share your stuff with everybody else. Why? To condemn you? No. To get you to grow up and stop it. Right? So we look at things differently than God does, don't we? So it's not a bad thing to have your junk revealed, is it? Is it? That's good. It makes you better. You may not like it, and it may not be fun, but the reality is you'll grow from it, and it will make you a stronger, better person. And so, well, as we look at Scripture today, and we look at evaluating ourselves, and we look at the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, how can we know this? Well, the best thing to do is look at the Bible and analyze it for what it says and then make some changes. If we're not aligning up to what it's speaking here, now Jesus has covered us, trust me. But he is asking us to be grown-ups and not be children. He calls us children, but he doesn't want us to keep sucking on milk. He wants us to be grown-ups. He wants us to be meat-eaters. We can eat. We can actually receive the big stuff and get it. Right? We can't keep coming back to the same stuff again. We have to grow and get better and grow through it. And I know you guys do. But as I was looking into this passage of Scripture and I seen what it was saying to me, I had to evaluate myself. Right? And I'm okay with that. I am. I'm okay with looking at myself and even sharing. Hey, this spoke to me. Right? And like I said last week, maybe it was on Wednesday, I shared very honestly that when when I look at scriptures and I evaluate myself, I can come up short. Right? I was doing and am doing all good things. You know, we look at the Blackberry Jam, we look at the backpack giveaway, we look at our retreat that's out there for the leadership stuff. All of those are wonderful things. It's all really good stuff. But if Dave doesn't get on his face before God and evaluate my walk before the Lord, it's just works and it's meaningless. And we certainly don't want to stand before the Lord and tell him about all the good things we did. No, we want to know, how are we, God? How are we doing? And so last Wednesday, those, how many of you guys were here Wednesday? You guys remember what my challenge was? Right? Spend some time with God. And what is he speaking to you individually about, you know, you and him? How are you doing with him? And what was his word to you? And so this Wednesday, as we come together, I encourage you to come. Right? And I want you to share what the Lord spoke to you. Right? What did you hear from God? Because if we're not challenged about hearing from God ourselves through his word and through our relationship with him, then we're just doing stuff. It's not a relationship at all. God created mankind to have a relationship. How is your relationship with God? And what was the last thing he told you to do, and did you do it? Because if you didn't do it, we think we're waiting on him, but in reality, he's waiting on us. And so come Wednesday and take this challenge on this Sunday. Wednesday we'll come back and we're going to have time together just to share about what God spoke to us individually. You know, and it's okay to be vulnerable. It is. It's okay to do that. I do it. Does it make me a less of a person because I share, you know, what I'm not doing good at? No, it makes me a better person. Right? And it does for you too. Because I can tell you, you're just not all that. You're not all of the things that you're cracked up to be. And what does the Bible talk about humility? Right? That's a sign of wisdom, to be humble before others and God, and to be honest. Because, listen, if you're not honest with yourself, well, then we're living in a lie. Isn't that true? And so if you're going to live a lie and write your own script, by all means, you know, have fun with that. But I would like to have a reality check. I would like to really be real and be honest with myself and to you. Wouldn't you like to do that? Because if we cross that bridge of being honest with ourselves and with others and talk about that, that's when we grow spiritually. That's when we're going to come out of the ditch we're in and we're going to rise above it and we're going to learn and grow. And so my challenge today is take some time, spend it with the Lord, and talk about truth to yourself and God and ask him to reveal truth. Because I think sometimes we can get duped and lulled into this script that we've written. And it's pretty easy to do. So, did you want to share something, Mikey? Everybody good? Let's pray. I've gone over. I need to let you go. Lord, thank you for the message today that you've given us, the knowledge of understanding truth and a lie. God, that you've given us everything we need to know to evaluate ourselves through your Spirit. And God, that we can know the truth. And we can also know the difference between a truth and a lie. And so God, help us to evaluate how we're walking, Lord, and how we're doing before you, because you love us. That's the thing you spoke to me in my quiet time before you, God, is that you loved me and you love us and you first loved us. And so, God, through love, help us to see truth. And God, that truth would set us free. God, go before us today and this day and the days before we come back together on Wednesday. And God, that we would truly be walking this relationship out before you through your word. God, bless us. Show us the way, God, as we take each step as a step, Lord God. And we ask, God, that you would be the light into our path for our next step. And God, help us to love one another the way you loved us, God. And set aside all the things that the world might say or even our emotions and love anyway.